The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning once again for those of you just joining us here on the Power Hour. It's 8 o'clock Central Time where we are on this Thursday. Those help notes that I was talking about before we went to break, Ohio's health department said yesterday it was striking a number of provisions that would have limited access to gender-affirming medical care for transgender adults in the state from a set of proposed administrative rules, citing a deluge of public comments opposing the restrictions. See, they're speaking out, all of you in Ohio. Their Republican Governor Mike DeWine in January said he had directed the State Department of Health and Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services to file rules for public comment that would have made Ohio one of the most restrictive states in the nation for adults seeking access to gender-affirming care. In other words, what they don't want to come right out and say, sex change. One day earlier, DeWine vetoed legislation to ban gender-affirming care for minors and prevent transgender student-athletes from competing on sports team consistent with their gender identity. Ohio's GOP-dominated legislature voted to override the governor's veto of the bill, HB 68. The new law is set to take effect in April, though an impending legal challenge from the ACLU could halt its enforcement before then. Draft rules filed by Ohio health departments shortly after DeWine's January 5th announcement drew almost immediate backlash from "let's get Biden to quit" advocates. See, I'm going to start saying that rather than LGBTQ. Let's get Biden to quit. And medical professionals for restrictions that would have limited access to care for transgender minors and adults. Then the question we have to posit is, do you think that Joe Biden is a transgender and that's why he likes him? Well, he had him at the White House. You think that's why he likes him? You think he's one? Makes me wonder. Former Alabama governor, nonprofit partner to abolish medical debt in Black Belt region. You know, what's really amazing is how the media can come out with stories like this. Black Belt. Black Belt. I read stuff like this and it's like, what pops in your head? I mean, this is a medical debt nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt. Rest in peace, medical debt. And according to the announcement, they're going to be abolishing medical debt for thousands in Alabama's Black Belt region, thanks to a partnership made possible by former Governor Don Siegelman, a Democrat. Yeah. Black Belt region. This must be an area that is predominantly, whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb, whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. Yeah, the Black Belt region. Hey, it's the media reporting this stuff. It's not me. Partnership's going to get a total of $4.193 million and some change for 5,411 residents in Alabama. The debt was bought out by RIP Medical Debt through a donation of roughly $24,000 from local entrepreneur Bart McCorkadale, an acquaintance of Siegelman's, who runs a moving and decorating company out of Birmingham. Yeah. So, you know, way down in Alabama, bam-a-lam, whoa. Yeah, okay. Black Belt region. It's amazing. All right, now, let me ask you this. You have this debt being bought out by a nonprofit. They bought out medical debt of one segment of the economy. Where's the White Belt region in all this? Is there one? You see, it's sad when we have to sit there and play these games, but this is what nonprofits do. I was shocked to find out the list of all of these NGOs that are helping all of these people get across the border. And the Lutherans have an immigration service in addition to Catholic Charities. Lutherans have an immigration and relocation and settlement service. They get paid every time they settle I mean, what do they get? $4 point something billion? Wow. I'm just shaking my head here. Yeah, Jesus loves you too. Yeah. Yeah, what was that Cheech and Chong thing? Oh, yeah, Jesus loves you. Yeah. Whatever. I just look at the stuff and go, look at the end result. You think that we're not all, you know, even Marie, I'm going to give you credit. You're on the right track here. Anybody that's thinking that you're of a sound mind, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yeah. We understand that. We also understand that things that are going on in our government are the results of things that aren't going on in the pulpit. Because these guys that are in the pulpit, this is one of the reasons why Front 242 came out with the song Welcome to Paradise. And what that song was doing, if you ever watch the video on YouTube, it's called Welcome to Paradise by Front 242. They're a band out of Belgium, and they made fun of modern day religion. And that includes Jerry Falwell. That includes everybody, Joel Osteen, all of them. All these Bible bangers up in the pulpit. You know, you'll know you got the right song when you're, hey, poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus is here. Don't tell the devil. You know, the Bible says to keep your mountain alive. Yeah. See, they come up with all of that stuff because it's the pulpit that's at fault here. They have the opportunity to straighten out this country, and they're not doing it. Look what happened when the COVID pandemic came down. What'd they do? Oh, we have to capitulate to what the government says, and we have to shut down our church. And those who kept their churches open, guess what? Law enforcement showed up. Remember that pastor in Tampa, Florida that got arrested? Yeah. Thank you, Chad Cronister, for that. You don't have a brain. You don't understand what constitutional rights are. And you're a sheriff? Really? Come on, Chad. Really? A Florida sheriff, too. I'm a member of Florida Sheriff's Association. I think I can speak onto that. Have been since 2012. Anyway, recent prescription medication shortages. Have you found yourself a victim of that? Yeah. Recent medication shortages have left U.S. patients fearing they're not going to be able to access the necessary medicines. Lawmakers raised concerns over how to fight shortages at a hearing of the House Ways and Means Committee. Like they have a way to control the supply chain. Where do most of the drugs come from? China and India. China dominates the global pharmaceutical market. And how do we know that the drugs that we're taking made in China are good for us? And I mean, America's not prepared for this, of course. Maybe that's by design too, you think? How's that going to work? Tony in Maine. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Dave. Hey, I was going to call about something else, but then I heard you mention the black belt there in Mississippi, and I'm a born and bred Yankee, but I think I've read in stories repeatedly that it's a strip of region where the soil is black, and it's real rich. It's good for gardens in Mississippi, Alabama, down there, down in Dixieland. But the other reason I was calling is yesterday evening, I got a call. I've got this flip phone I'm talking on. I got a smartphone, and that smartphone started going off. I've got it set on silent, but about 7:30, it started going off, vibrating right off the table. And so I didn't answer it. It said probable spam. So once it got done, I looked at it, and it came from a area code 404 number. And
that's Atlanta.
There was a voice message that had been left on there an hour earlier, not a robocall, a real person, saying they're from the CDC and they're doing some sort of survey about vaccines and wanted me to call some number, and I just deleted it. But I was wondering if that was just me or if it was anybody else got that. Because I use that smartphone mainly for listening to alternative media, and back during the COVID, I had left all sorts of messages for elected representatives, my congressional delegation, the governor, very obscenely complaining about the lockdowns and the vaccines. And I never threatened to commit any crimes or do anything violent, but they were, I said a lot of things that probably shouldn't have.
Well, you know, you're frustrated and upset, Tony. I get it. And you understand exactly what's going on because, you know, I mean, you look at what's going on in Maine right now. You have a runaway Secretary of State. So I'm just looking at the situation. I mean, you guys got to be scratching your heads going, man, do I want to still live here? And no, I get it. And the CDC, as far as I'm concerned, you probably did the right thing hanging up on them and deleting it. Probably did the right thing. Yeah. They don't need to know what our opinions are. They didn't care before. Why all of a sudden are they trying to backpedal? Are they trying to gain favor with the American public by showing they care? I don't think so.
Yeah. They might have been trying to set me up to say something I shouldn't say, too, because if I had talked to them, I would have said something I probably shouldn't have. But no, I don't want to have anything to do with those assholes. So
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And yes, the feeling is mutual. I'm sure all across the board, our listeners are all going to agree with that one. Thanks for your call, Tony. Appreciate it this morning. Chance in West Virginia, long time no talk to. Do you agree with Tony on that?
Yes. Good morning, Dave Meister. So the Lutheran Church is in on the illegal alien smuggling, huh?
Yeah, they sure are, man. I was blown away when I started reading all the people that were getting, all the agencies that were getting all of this. And this Lutheran Ministries is an NGO, and they're getting billions of dollars every time they settle one of these. I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
Well, you know what, Dave? It seems I've heard that story before. 30 pieces of silver? Sound familiar?
Yeah, sure does.
Yeah, and you know, I got a test for gender affirming.
Step
one, you go into the bathroom. Step number two, you look in the mirror. Step number three, you drop trowel. Step number four, you say, well, it sure looks like I'm a male.
Okay.
That works. That's my version of gender affirming.
I got you. Thank you for that.
Take care now.
We all need to look in the mirror and do that, right? No. I just wonder how women would take to that. Because, you know, sometimes they wear trowel, sometimes they don't wear trowel. Judy in Georgia, what say you to that?
Well, I agree with him. I normally listen to your broadcast live in the morning. Yesterday, I listened to the replay, and I heard you talk about a woman who is fighting with a family fighting cancer. I have a great idea that on that frequency wand that you have, I had a pet that had spinal lymphoma, and I have a frequency wand. It's not the one that you have. I think it's different. But I think it would be it greatly improved his quality of life. He wanted to live. He didn't give up. And when the time came, my idea is if people donated 5, 10, 20, whatever they can, so that we on behalf through the Power Hour can donate your wand. I can't remember what it's called. What is it called?
Well, we have the Rife machine here is what we are now currently marketing.
And I,
Judy, I'm actually going to be doing an interview later today with Michelle, that's an expert on this. So,
and I'm not going to say that it cures anything, but it will help her body heal itself. And if worst case scenario, God forbid that be the worst case scenario, that it doesn't help her body heal, it will greatly improve her quality of life. And I think all of us should rally together and donate so we can give this family something. That's one thing that we can do to help. And there's nothing worse than losing one of your parents prematurely.
It is.
So that was my thought. And okay. I was so excited. That instantly came into my mind. I called in, and like an idiot, I didn't realize you weren't live.
Oh, yeah. No, that's all right. You know, I'm glad you called in this morning, though.
I think all of us can afford to do that.
You know what, really? Judy, I wonder why Nicole hasn't set up a Give, Send, Go to get people to donate so she can afford to get a Rife machine. Now, I will say this about the Rife. I've had one for 3 years now, version 3, and we sell it at the Power Mall. And I have had nothing but great things to say about it. It's got pain settings. And a lot of these things, I mean, like I said, I'm going to be interviewing Michelle later today. We're going to try to get that interview on as soon as we can. She's going to answer a lot of questions about it. Of course, you know, the medical industry, and we have to preface this by saying that they don't endorse alternative therapies. They go by what science says but
that's
everybody,
why I'm saying it. You can't say it's going to cure, but from my experience, I had a miniature goat named Bud. He was 3 years old. And with the spinal lymphoma, it's a cancer tumor in his spine. Goats normally will give up and get depressed, and they just lay down and die. Hmm. He wanted to live, and this dramatically improved his quality of life. Everything was normal for him, except he couldn't walk on his back legs for the tumor. And he had improvement, and so I know that this wand that you have will, if anything else, it will give her better quality of life and will help her body heal itself.
Right. Well, I mean, you've heard of the med beds, right?
The wand's not going to heal. Pardon?
You've heard of the med beds, right? They're out. They're coming out now more and more. They have the med bed where you go in there and you go to sleep in there. I really think it's the same thing as the Rife on a larger scale. But who can afford that?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's why we have the Rife machine here, because it's more affordable. And again, I got to ask people, what's your life worth to you? I mean, Judy, you already understand about frequencies. I can tell, or you wouldn't have called the show. So,
and your quality,
I know you know about frequencies.
Your health is your foundation. So, and our bodies are made of frequencies. So, and I'm wanting to get your Rife machine because I think it's better than what I have.
Well, I'll tell you what, the mat kit I lay on every night, and sometimes I take a break because, I mean, you will find out as time progresses that you can overdo anything. And if your body isn't willing to accept a specific set of frequencies to heal something, then switch to another set of frequencies and try different frequencies for various ailments that you might have. I mean, it's been working for like dental problems, for people that have abscesses, for people who have, you know, lower back pain, for people that have eczema. They got settings for that. There's over 800 of them in this Rife machine book.
Which is incredible.
You can program.
That's incredible. And I want to get one, but that's why I think if people called into the Power Mall and gave a donation put aside for this, the sooner this family gets it, the sooner the mother can start using it and help her body heal.
Makes sense. Well, so. I hope that we can generate that, because I think we have a Give, Send, Go account too. So let's just hope and pray that we can accomplish that. I appreciate that, Judy. Thanks so much for caring. Sherry in Kansas, good morning.
Good morning. Besides the Catholics and the Lutherans, let's not forget the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, who Mayorkas, if he wasn't the top guy in that for a while, he was right up there in the administration. And under the Obama administration, he had something to do with immigration, too.
And huh, makes you wonder if he's making any money off that.
I hear he's the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society is very involved in helping those people come up here.
Okay. And also, let's not forget the Red Cross.
Yeah. Well, we know they've been crooked, you know, once they got exposed during the Clinton administration on the blood deal, that's when I stopped giving blood to them. But with the AIDS and stuff. The thing on Coca-Cola, another reason I saw on a, you know, a foreign language or a foreign broadcast is that there's a lot of people that are boycotting them because of their ties to Israel. They also mainly featured on Starbucks. And also, let's see, McDonald's, Coca-Cola. I can't remember the others. Those are the ones that stuck out. But there's, you know, some of this is boycott activity. And I think some people, I mean, I agree the price of food has gone up and they have to reflect that. And what they're doing out in California. In these states where they're raising the minimum wage so high, but some of it is boycott, which is, and you know, these people that, these state legislators that pass things that, you know, try to keep you from boycotting, what was that thing that people were doing on Israel because of the way they were treating the Palestinians, a boycott. It was an acronym, but anyway, you know, they'll let you boycott Iran and anything else, but they won't, they don't want you to boycott Israel. That's just crap. I mean,
yeah, I get it. All right. Well, you know, here's the one thing we, me in particular, have tried to stay out of the middle of that fracas. Because, see, we're not there. We're hearing what other people are saying. We're hearing news reports. We don't know whether the news reports are accurate, which is one of the reasons I've been talking about Tucker Carlson, because him going over to Russia, we might actually get some truth in the situation because, you know, most of us that call the show have studied Zelensky. They know what he is and who he is. They know what he's done to his opposition. This is no different in the United States. If we're going to talk, we have to talk with a pocketbook. That's the only way. We have to walk away from people that are basically in our minds. We're being used by them to further their own exploits at our expense. And it's,
well,
it's
the
wrong.
American Free Press had an article about Israel makes weapons. They make weapons that, you know, other countries have some international deal that these are so evil that, you know, they're banned. But, you know, they use Gaza and, for a test field on some of their weapons. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing that, and we shouldn't give them any money. So that's,
yeah,
my opinion.
I get it. Thanks. Well, they're still haggling about this over in Congress. So, you know, that we don't know that there's going to be anything. I mean, this is the thing. You ask any Messianic Jew or any Jewish person here in the United States of America, whether they're affiliated with AIPAC or not. And they're going to say, oh, no, we need to support Israel. And, you know, if the U.S. doesn't support Israel, then the U.S. is Babylon and the U.S. is going to die and the U.S. is going to go to hell in a handbasket. And I think the U.S. is already there. I think we're already in the middle of it. Sherry, I appreciate your call. Sue in Michigan, go ahead. You're on the air with us this morning. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing? I wanted to talk about the home equity theft that these counties in Michigan have stolen millions of dollars in the equity that people had on their property, and they foreclosed on these properties and stole all the home equity. And then they only give you a short time frame to make a claim on what was your money, maybe your life savings.
And, well, you're talking about a
they
surplus.
They give you just a few months. You got to make a claim to get your money back. And so, in my opinion, county employees that were involved in this and the state of Michigan passed an illegal general property tax act back in 99. So these counties stole millions. And this sheriff, Bruchard, out of Oakland County, he was a sheriff then. So don't. don't tell me he didn't know all these crimes were happening. And Oakland County agreed to give back $38 million. Isn't that nice? They agreed to give back money that wasn't theirs.
Yeah, you got to wonder about that, Sue. And this is the thing about these property tax issues in Michigan, because that's one of the ways that they're going to actually do that in all 50 states. It won't be just Michigan. But, you know, some of these states, they don't have surplus. Some of these won't give you any money back. In most mortgage states, there's usually a surplus. But in mortgage states, there are deficiency judgments as well after they sell your property. And there's more month at the end of the money in that. And then they want to sue you for the rest and drain your bank account as well. So, you know, I know this is not a very equitable situation in Michigan, but I do want to point out one thing. Sheriffs are bonded. Sheriffs are bonded, and sheriffs have exposure. And when they do illegal evictions, they can be held criminally liable or civilly liable in the least for their behavior in not enforcing your constitutional rights, according to the state constitution, let alone federal. And I would wonder whether why more people aren't filing 42 U.S.C. 1983 lawsuits for deprivation of rights if they don't get due process, because we do have a right to redress of grievances. So I'm wondering why I haven't seen more people do that.
Well, they did throw my brother out just for not even $2,000 in tax money in Jackson County. And I just think that is the biggest form of criminal there is. And nobody, not one of these criminals goes to prison. So it is beyond me how they pass these unlawful laws. I've seen that Michigan passing like 4 unlawful laws and they just get away with it.
Well, nobody challenges them, Sue. Nobody challenges them.
Yeah, no. Well, people don't know the laws. You don't get a copy of every law that they pass.
Yep. Thank you for that. You just made my case. I appreciate that, Sue. That's what it's going to take, is people waking up and getting informed. And, you know, the sad thing about it, Sue, is that they don't do anything until it directly affects them. That's the sad part about it. They just sit there with their, you know, their pants got to be down around their ankles. And the county's got to be staring at them, and they're like, oh, my God, what's happening to me? And their whole when somebody gets foreclosed on, I can tell you with the certainty, having dealt with this thing, whether it's tax, whether it's, you know, whatever, you know, there are investors out there that will help people in tax situations, that will actually help and help finance rather than see a person lose their home. There are beneficiary, you know, people out there that will do things to benefit the homeowner to keep them in their house. I appreciate your call, Sue. You know, people, unless you don't ask, you don't get. I mean, that's in the Bible. It's a Greek word, pistis. It's faith-based believing. We're going to try to hook up with Lord Conrad Black here in the next half hour. Finish our segment out with somebody in Canada. It's with the House of Lords. He's got articles and a book out on the political and strategic history of the world, volume 1. Be back after these messages. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and high bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 9829.
And it's 33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here where we are. And of course, for those of you that have been paying attention to what's been happening north of the border, I mean, we've been spending an inordinate amount of time talking about what Tucker Carlson is doing over in Russia and how that's going to work out and whether we're going to get a lot of truth that we normally don't get from our American media. I have a gentleman on the phone now, Lord Conrad Black. His real name is Conrad Moffat Black. He goes by Baron Black of Cross Harbor. He's a Canadian and British former newspaper publisher, a businessman and a writer. A longtime columnist and author, having written a column for the National Post since he founded it in 1998. He's written 11 books, mostly in the fields of Canadian and American history, including biographies of Quebec Minister Maurice Duplessis and U.S. Presidents Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Richard Nixon, and Donald Trump, as well as two memoirs. He has also hosted two interview shows on the Canadian cable TV network Vision TV. He is a political conservative and belonged to the UK's Conservative Party, but also has some idiosyncratic views, including his support for Roosevelt's New Deal, which many of us here are starting to think it's the raw deal. He's got a new book out called The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to the Caesars, 14 AD. But we're going back in history there. Good morning, Conrad Black, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your gracious introduction. And I assure you, I don't use that title outside England. It's good for getting dinner reservations in London, but elsewhere, and the correct fare get me on the public transit system anywhere.
You got to love it. I love that, you know, because it's like, Lord, you'll address me as Lord. And they're going, oh, my gosh, he's royal.
Maybe in the 16th century, but not now.
I want that table over there. All right. I love it. So you wrote this book. The research must have been intense because you're covering time immemorial here. Earliest written records of the Hebrews, Sumerians, Babylonians, Egyptians. And now look where we are with this Middle East conflict. I mean, you put this in perspective from way back when. Has things changed from the time that you discuss in this book to now?
You mean in the Middle East or generally?
Well, generally, I mean, but the Middle East seems to be the biggest, the brunt of the conflict right now. It's what we're facing.
I think it has changed in a way. The basic problem in the we're talking about Israel and the Palestinians, and that problem really is a result of, there's been a lot of conflict there, as you say, going back to the part I wrote about, which brings us from the earliest reliable history. I can't get too much into outright folklore, but where you've got verifiable history, and I take it up to King David and King Solomon, and there was certainly a lot of war-making and quarreling going on. But the present problem, it really comes from the fact that the British, in the middle of World War One, when Turkey was governing the area, announced that when the Allies won, that territory of what's now Israel and the West Bank and Gaza would be a homeland for the Jews without compromising the rights of the Arabs. And in effect, they sold the same real estate twice, you see. And so the Palestinians never governed in that area. And this idea that an occupation is going on is nonsense. The Jews have always been there. They were the original people in Israel. So you can't say that they are occupying other people's territory altogether. There can be a legitimate debate about where the Israeli borders and the neighboring borders should be. But there's never been any solution since the British made that statement. Then, of course, the Allies did win the war, and Britain did take over that area. The French took Lebanon and Syria, and the British took Israel and Jordan, and as they now are. Since then, the problem has been dividing a small space into two pieces, and the current problem, and the problem we've had throughout the history of the state of Israel, is that the so-called Palestinians will not accept, at least their leaders will not accept, the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. And, you know, under the President Clinton, we had everything all worked out with the Israelis and Yasser Arafat, who was an awful man and completely dishonest. And then Arafat let it be known, well, the right of return of the Palestinians who were scattered around the Arab world and in refugee camps and so on was to Israel, meaning, they would say who constituted a Palestinian, and enough of them would come back that the Jews would be a minority in their own country again. And the whole purpose of setting Israel up was as a Jewish state after the horrible massacres of Jews in Europe in World War II. But it's a different problem from the one that I describe in this book. But the one thing that is the same is that the ancient foes of the Jews and the Palestinians were the Turks, and even before that, the Persians, now Iran, and the Iranians in particular, and to some extent the Turks, are starting to infringe on the Arabs again, which is the principal motive force behind the movement of the Arab powers to welcome Israel as an ally. I mean, Israel's relations with the governments of Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Jordan are not bad at all. They see Israel as helping them against Iran. Now, they have to finesse it a bit in their public relations because of the tendency of the Arab, so-called Arab street, to become agitated. But that's where the national interest of these Arab governments lies. So there has been progress in a way, but there's also been this problem of the Palestinians, who are essentially the descendants of the Philistines, who arrived long after the Jews and were batted around between the Syrians and the Jews and the Egyptians. I feel sorry for them, but we have to try and help them in a way. But what they're entitled to is a small state that will all help launch economically. But they have no standing to say that Israel does not have a right to exist as a Jewish state, and they can never win that argument.
Yeah, we understand that, and that's one of the things that Netanyahu just came out and read this entire speech in English. I don't know if you had heard his speech yesterday that he gave, but, you know, Blinken's been over there.
I read it. I thought it was excellent. Yeah. I think he's right. I mean, what I don't understand, and maybe you could enlighten me here, is where this idea comes from that after an undoubted act of war on October the 7th, I mean, the slaughter of more people than died, for example, on the battleship Arizona at Pearl Harbor. But here, not combatants. I mean, they were going after women and children and elderly people and so on. And so we are at war. Israel's at war. It forms a national unity government, declares war. And people are still talking about a ceasefire. I mean, no one told Roosevelt to go for a ceasefire 2 months after Pearl Harbor. Nobody told the United States it had to lay off the Al-Qaeda 2 months after 9/11. I mean, war is war, and it goes until either there is an agreement between the parties to end the war, or one party defeats the other. And from the beginning, Israel said it was a war for the existence of Israel, and it would destroy its opponent, and they have every right in international law and precedent to do that after the atrocity of October 7. They said that's what they were going to do, and that's what they should do. And I was not at all surprised, but very pleased to read Bibi Netanyahu's address yesterday. I read it. I didn't hear it.
Right, and we had that available here on the show. We have an email blast we put out, and that entire speech will be available to anybody who wants to read it. Now, of course, we have people who will call this show, and this is part of where the United States, I think, needs a little straightening out, because you have all these college kids on campuses all across the country that are basically protesting, this side of a riot, not as bad as what happened with George Floyd, but they are certainly protesting, and they're getting, you know, politically crazy over this idea that the Palestinians have more rights than the Israelis. And to me, it's like, okay, isn't there something a little bit more pro-American that you can get involved in, like trying to clean up our crime, like trying to clean up, you know, what's going on at our southern border? I mean, don't we have enough stuff going on in our own country that we need to be concerned with than getting ourselves involved with a centuries-old battle between factions? I mean, that's what this is. It's a religious war. It's been going on for centuries.
Religious and ethnic too, I think. Of course, I agree with what you say, but it seems to me that a couple of things have happened here. The pro-Palestinian agitation in the West is almost entirely the result of two groups, and the two groups are the source of it. One is Muslim immigrants who have somewhat abused the hospitality of all of us. I mean, you know, they've emigrated to all of our Western countries, but for the most part, I think, legally, and I'm sure most of them are good participants in society, the societies where they're a minority. But they are abusing our hospitality to the extent they're conducting these annoying demonstrations and interrupting traffic and blocking blocking the road to the New York City airports and that kind of thing. I was almost late for the opera here the other night because of a few ragtag of people marching in front of the traffic with the Palestinian flag. You know, I mean, what has that got to do with me or going to the opera? And the other half, larger than half, is, as you say, these university students have been whipped up by professors who are not only anti-Israel or anti-American, they're anti-West. That's where we really, almost throughout the Western world, have lost control of things badly. I mean, everyone agrees there should be a universality of views expressed in universities. I mean, it's part of the meaning of the word. You know, it's a great exchange of ideas and learning and so forth, and everyone states their opinion no matter how outrageous it is. Nothing wrong with that. That's what you want. But all of a sudden, we as we pour more and more money into education, we get less and less well-educated students throughout the Western world, and they are being influenced. They'll grow out of it, most of them, but they're being influenced by this core of academicians who, for some reason, and this is a complicated question to get into, but for some reason are hostile to our society, and they're misleading these young people. I mean, if you interview any of these young, you know, university students who aren't Muslims themselves, or, long-time, their families are long-time residents of our countries, and they don't, from the river to the sea, they don't know what river it is, they don't know what sea it is, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, they don't know anything about it. A few of them do, but almost none of them do.
Yeah, it's the average person out there, and they don't have a clue. They just know that everybody else is getting angry.
Public opinion is strong. I mean, if all the polls have held well in the United States, the majority of Americans support Israel. And that, the problem, I mean, one of a great many problems that your president has is he's trying to reconcile the fact that the majority of Americans and the majority of traditional Democrats support the right of the state of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. But he opened the party in the summer of 2020 to these radical anti-American, destructive, and in many ways nihilistic, anarchic elements that burned the country down all summer in peaceful protesting and are, essentially anti-American. And now the chickens are coming home to roost, and that faction that the great majority of Americans disapprove of is, if you'll pardon the old expression, wagging the dog, and the leadership of the Democrats are afraid to disown them.
Well, it's a big problem because they have to face the people in their districts, and when you're paying $18 for a Big Mac meal, things get a little dicey out there. Yeah,
and $50,000 for a year at university to be taught that, George Washington was a slave owner and the United States is a fraud. I mean, who wants to pay $50,000 for that?
Well, yeah, and then you got student loan debt and all this other stuff, and half the people don't even know that the student loan debt has been securitized. And people, I'm just working on a court case, as a matter of fact, for somebody up in Chicago, and we're finding out that, Wells Fargo's involved, and of course there's all this dummy documents in the land records. I mean, this thing just goes on, and it's just a never-ending cycle, and people finding out that they've been defrauded by their own government. Their own government right now is in so much debt, and, they spend money like, what was the old saying I use, like a drunken sailor in a strip club, and printing money they don't have to spend, and they're just, this is what's causing our problem here. But, I mean, bigger problems, I think, now, and one of the things that I've got in my show notes here, what is the CUPE, and what is this brouhaha about with this same zeal the government attacked the truckers that should put the CUPE in trusteeship and decertify it as a bargaining agent? What is all this about?
Well, now that's a variation on what we've just been speaking of. In this country, the leading union of public sector employees, civil servants and so on, people like postal workers and that sort of thing, is called the Canadian Union of Public Employees. And there are, obviously there are various branches of it all around the country. And a number of the branches have been putting out this virulently anti-Semitic propaganda denouncing Israel, supporting Hamas, and denouncing Canada. I mean, Canada, for heaven's sakes, which has never done anything to offend any other country except, you know, when it went to war with Nazi Germany and things like that, denouncing Canada as a mere front for a bunch of grasping Jewish racists and genocidists. I mean, the Jews are genocidists, the only major nationality that was subjected to a serious genocide campaign in centuries, and they are now being called genocidists. Well, I saw this, so I just wrote about it, that and the heavy-handedness with which the government, the federal government in this country, attacked the demonstration of the truckers protesting that, you know, they all are engaged in cross-border deliveries, so they deliver things to the U.S. and pick up there and bring them back to Canada. So at the height of the pandemic, if they weren't vaccinated, they had to quarantine for 2 weeks, which would mean that their income would dry up and they'd all be on welfare. And so they became annoyed about it and drove a few hundred trucks across the country to the capital of the country, and then tooted their horns, and, you know, there was no violence. It was fine. It was, you know, they had a legitimate grievance, and eventually you want them, you don't want them blocking the roads. But it has now been determined by the courts in this country that the government exceeded its authority, and in invoking the Emergencies Act, which is like martial law, they overreacted and they did things they shouldn't have done. It wasn't a matter of beating people up. Nobody died, but they briefly imprisoned a few people and froze their bank accounts and things. And they had no reason to do it. And so, and in addition, the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, well, these truckers were still hundreds of miles away, was denouncing them as homophobes and misogynists and so on. And he didn't know anything about it, and they weren't. They're just ordinary people trying to make their living driving a truck. There's nothing wrong with that. And so my comment was that since the government, as was determined by the courts last week, so overreacted in that case, why didn't they leave the truckers to their rights and do what they did to the truckers, to these lunatics at CUPE who are defaming our country and inciting racial hatred in this country with taxpayers' money, since they're all government employees? The point I was making.
I get it. And see, we've had Tamara Leach on this show before, and she was one of those very that was nice in prison.
Woman. Shabbily
she's
treated.
Great. Yeah, she was. Nice. And we all sympathized. And I had some of the doctors on that were speaking there in favor of the truckers, in favor of the, you know, they didn't want vaccine mandates, and they were speaking out about COVID. And of course, they had to flee because the Canadian government apparently was out trying to find them so they could arrest them and put them in leg irons. And
that's a slight exaggeration. They wouldn't do everything you said is true except the last part.
I know. I have to be a little bit dramatic with this.
Sure,
thing,
no, put them in stocks. Yeah, that's right.
Put them in the stocks. Yeah, I gotta love it, man. You know, so being a newspaper publisher, I mean, you see, and this is the thing: we're all trying to be not biased. Like with Tucker, that's the only reason he got into the Kremlin. I'm convinced of it. And now you've got the EU wanting to sanction him. I'd like to know how that's going to work. I mean, God, is there not, you know, I look at what he's trying to do is investigative journalism, because we're all being kept from the truth. Isn't that something that newspaper publishers and editors and reporters, I'm one, I'm a card carrying news person. I got my media badge in my hot little hand here. You know, we're all supposed to be reporting the truth and getting to the meat of the red meat of the details to let people know so they can make an honest living and an honest decision.
And separate reporting from comment. I mean, when I owned with my associates a lot of newspapers in different countries, the Chicago Sun-Times in the U.S., for instance, and the London Daily Telegraph in Australia and Canada, and the Jerusalem Post. In every case, we said, look, reporters who want to write an opinion piece, they can do it. They just check with their editors, put it in when there's space for it and sign it as that reporter's opinion. That's fine. But we're not having a comment in reporting. You report the facts and stick to the facts. And, you know, one of the best compliments we ever got was when the then leader of the opposition in Britain, Neil Kinnock, the man that Joe Biden stole, cribbed the lines from. I mean, if you're going to steal the lines of another politician, another country, get a winner like, Mr. Disraeli or Mr. Churchill, not poor old Neil Kinnock. But Neil Kinnock, I gave him a ride once, and we were both at a lunch at the Israeli embassy. So I said, Neil, come on. You know, he being the leader of the Labor Party, he was going to walk half a mile to the subway station. I said, don't be a jackass or get in the car. He was a little embarrassed to get into a Bentley, but he did it, head of the Labor Party. But he said, look, I've got to tell you this. The first parliamentary report I read every morning is in your paper. I mean, we were a conservative paper, and everybody knew it, and we made no bones about that. But we reported fairly, including on him.
Wow, I appreciate that so much. Conrad Black, yeah, it's wonderful to have you on. I love to hear this conversation because, you know, you speak the truth, and I hope to God that the Canadian government doesn't come after you for speaking the truth like they're trying to do to Tucker Carlson. But thank you so much. Folks, for those of you who want to invest in a little history, The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1, From Antiquity to Caesars, 14 AD, you can go to the Power Hour and click on our guest tab. The host or callers have a recommended books page, and you can click on the link to purchase the book through our site. We'll get a little bit of something to help pay for the radio expenses to keep us on the air. In the meantime, Conrad Black, thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you for the work you're doing. All of you, we'll see you tomorrow for our Friday edition. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.